Well, good morning, everyone. Let me add my welcome to Alexis's this morning. My name's Adam. I'm a member of the ministry team here. It's a pleasure to welcome you to St. Hills. And if you're visiting today, apologies about the construction zone. It was beyond our control. And we do have a little bit less space in here. But I think most people have found a seat. So thank God for that. Let me pray. Gracious Father, as we look at today's scripture, would you open our hearts, our minds and our hands to receive everything you have for us, and may we be encouraged, challenged and blessed as we hear this resurrection account and reflect on it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a pastor who was less experienced than Reverend Amanda at giving kids talks, and he had the kids out the front and he said, kids, do you know what the first thing Jesus said when he came out of the tomb? And one girl's hand shot up. It was a rhetorical question, but he thought, all right, well, if you've got an answer, let's hear it. And she went, ta-da! As we read the account of the resurrection, that's not a bad representation. We hear about the shock and the surprise and the astonishment of those who saw Jesus after the resurrection. And it's very heartening, because if you were hearing the story for the first time, you might say, that's really hard to believe. Well, these are the people who loved Jesus and knew him best, had spent all this time with him. And the women, they went looking for a body, didn't they? They went to prepare the body. They were shocked when they didn't find one. The men didn't believe the women, for it sounded to them like nonsense. You know, those two men on the road that we saw, or two people on the road who were walking and saw Jesus, they didn't know that it was Jesus. They were like, well, you know, he's gone. Peter goes to the tomb. He comes away perplexed at what had happened. And then even when Jesus comes and stands among them, they are frightened and think they are seeing a ghost. If you've ever found the resurrection of Jesus hard to believe, or you still find it hard to believe, you are in good company. Jesus' closest friends, who had been told by Jesus that these things would take place, were completely taken by surprise and were slow to believe it was true, even when Jesus was physically standing in front of them. Jesus says, look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And almost as if to just make sure they'd got the message, he said, give me some food. And they gave him a piece of cold fish, which can't have been that nice. But he ate it in front of them, and they watched him eat it. Ghosts don't eat food. So it's heartening. If you find or have ever found the resurrection of Jesus hard to believe, you are in good company. And yet, just like with us, God was gracious in letting them understand. In John's gospel, Thomas wouldn't believe until he'd put his fingers in Jesus' hands and side. Here in Luke, it's not really till they eat with Jesus they truly believe that he's risen from the dead. The Apostle Paul tells us that there were many witnesses in the days immediately after the resurrection of Jesus. At one time, 500 in one place. Secular historians of the first century record this event and claim an account of how quickly this fledgling faith spread to the entire known world, and conclude that because of that, the only explanation is that it's true. Doctors and scientists research widely and conclude that the only explanation for a man who has endured a Roman flogging and execution, pronounced dead by executioners, guarded heavily by soldiers, and then seen alive, cannot have survived the resurrection, as some have proposed, but that the only rational scientific explanation is that Jesus rose from the dead. Artists continue to use the Jesus story as inspiration for works of literature, poetry, film, stage and visual art, and booksellers continue to marvel at the Bible being the bestseller every week of every year of every decade. Jesus is alive. The bodily resurrection of Jesus did take place. It's okay to find that hard to grasp, but even many of the greatest skeptics have come to the realization that the only plausible explanation is that Jesus did die and did rise from the dead. And that's what 2.38 billion people will celebrate today, about a third of the global population. We get to do it first, as the sun goes the other way. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. And the next question, of course, is, why did Jesus rise from the dead? Why was it necessary? Once we come to the realization that it's true, we have to also understand why it's necessary. And I think for some people, that part's even harder. I met a man a few years ago, and occasionally I meet these people who are real spiritual seekers. He'd tried everything. He'd tried every religion. He'd researched. He was quite an intellectual kind of person. And he'd come to the conclusion that Christianity was for him, that Christianity was true. And he said to me, and this is his words, not mine, so I'm just, you know, don't take me the wrong way, but he said every religion other than Christianity has some version of karma, he said. You know, where you put something out in the universe and it comes back to you. And he said, I was so frustrated by this. He said, this shame, this sin, this thing in me, I just wanted to get rid of it, but it came back to me if I followed the teaching of other systems of belief. He said, it's like you put it in an envelope, in a postcard, you know, you post it in the mail, and it comes back to you. And then he said, then I discovered Christianity. He said, it's the only system of belief where it says God comes in the person of his son, and he takes that on for me. It's not going to come back to me because he took it for me. You see, the concept of sin, that actual word, came from an archery term, from missing the mark. And that's so easy to do, isn't it? The people of Jesus' time, they had the law of Moses, and they found it impossible to keep, no matter how hard they tried. They missed the mark. And we live in a time where sin is all around us. The small things that we do that we wish we didn't do, but also the very big things. It's impossible to look out at our world today and think that everything is fine. Not to mention, of course, the sin that's perpetrated against us. And of course, we look at it, we look at the world, and we feel powerless. Those in power make laws, engage in diplomatic dialogue, perhaps mobilize troops, initiate attacks. We miss the mark big time. The Bible says the wages of sin, the penalty, is death. Death is what we all deserve. And yet the Bible also tells us that God has a solution. And Jesus explains this to the disciples in verse 46. It says, it was written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Remember that man I was telling you about? God says in the Bible, I'm going to break the cycle of you sinning and then trying to make it right. Sinning again and trying to make it right. Sinning again and trying to make it right. I'm sending the one who is truly righteous to take your place, to receive the penalty you deserve. And it's not going to be what goes around comes around, because Jesus is taking the penalty in your place and he's going to break that cycle forever. And it's a once-for-all transaction that will apply to all that come before and all who come after, who put their faith in him. Or as Amanda put it earlier, who become his forever friend. Now that's what dying on the cross did. It is finished, penalty paid, debt cancelled. But there is victory too that only comes with rising from the dead, to demonstrate to the world, to the devil, to the powers and principalities that sin is defeated, that death is defeated, and that the people of this world will also receive a resurrection like his own. As the disciples see him, touch him, eat food with him, it is God testifying to them and to us that sin and death will not and cannot have the final word. And what all that means is the resurrection changes everything. The resurrection changed history. And we come here today to celebrate a victory. There are times, as we go through life with all its hardship, that we don't feel very victorious. That's okay. And when we see the affliction of others or even our own, we're going to be grieved and distressed. But today we celebrate and acknowledge that God has already enacted his rescue plan. And that no matter what we experience, we have a certain and undeniable hope that he will return to judge all the evil on the earth and draw his people home and give them, give us a resurrection like his own. And so here's something I want to invite you to do today. If you are someone who has already made a decision to follow Jesus, this is a day to reaffirm that decision, to say yes, yes, and yes again. And right now, as we do this here, over at our other church, St. Augustine's, 7 people are being baptized, making that decision for the first time. Praise Jesus. But we all, on Easter, can reaffirm our trust and our hope that Jesus will do all that he said he would, and that he goes with us in every circumstance and every hard situation we face. And if you're here today as someone who has not made a decision to follow Jesus, well, good on you for coming to start with. Bless you. I just want to encourage you to seek. The kingdom of God is not about striving. Remember the disciples? Remember that man I mentioned earlier? As we seek Jesus, he comes to meet us. He's patient and gentle with us. If it's not today, that's okay. He'll wait. But if you find the Easter message compelling, why wait? Why not look into it now? Why not look into it today? He comes to meet us. He's patient and he's gentle with us. And he already loves us more than we can imagine. He can be trusted. His hope is undeniable. And the way we start is by putting our trust in him. And so as I close my message this morning, I'm going to pray just a prayer of trust in the Lord. And if you're someone who's made that decision already, then, you know, just reaffirm it this morning. And if you're someone who hasn't, you may like to. No pressure. I'm not asking you to do anything you don't want to do. But if you feel compelled, feel free to make that prayer your own this morning. Gracious God, we thank you that you died as a penalty for all the wrongdoing in the world, and that you rose victorious, penalty paid, debt cancelled, victory over sin and death. We thank you for that. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come now to live in us, to dwell in us, to testify to our spirits who you are, what you've done, and who we are in you. And we say, we want to put our trust in you. We want to say our yes to you. We want to walk in the newness of light. And so come, Holy Spirit, come and restore us, come and help us, bless us, strengthen us. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.